To take your Bibles this morning and be opening to Revelation chapter 3. I want us in a moment to look at verses 7 and following of Revelation chapter 3. As we announced last Sunday, we are planning to next Sunday open up Bible classes again and also begin meeting on Wednesday night. Now, that'll be not this Wednesday, but the next. In a gathering that no one would call a meeting of the minds, Rodney and I got together and we said, how are we going to do this as safely as we can? And so what we've decided to do is on Sunday mornings, I plan to stay right here in the auditorium, put the podium down there and lead an auditorium class so that anyone who wants a Bible study but wants to stay distanced can stay right where you are and we'll have Bible class. I have the book that I'll be beginning with, Second Mile Servant, Studies in the Gospel of Matthew, is what we'll be doing out here. I have about 50 of these books that we can use. And so classes that want to meet on Sunday morning are able to do that. But if you'd rather just stay put, you'll have that option. And then on Wednesday night, Rodney is going to teach a class right here. And we can spread out in the auditorium and have a discussion-style class. Rodney is going to begin a study on angels. And he will make an assessment and get some books for us, too, for those of us who will be a part of that study. So that's how we'll begin, and we'll do that kind of format as long as we need to. One more thing before we get into the text. Paul Victory called a couple of days ago, and he said that Dwayne has had, in his words, a spell, and he's in the hospital, veterans, and he's in serious condition. And Paul asked if we would have a special prayer on behalf of the Victory family. Especially Dwayne, and of course we want to honor that request and do that. So would you bow with me at this time? Father in heaven, we do thank you for this Lord's Day, and we're thankful that you built in the Lord's Day to our schedule. A time when we can put aside every other worry and every other responsibility and every other thought and care and just meet around your throne and just sit in your presence, offer you the worship that you deserve, and encourage one another, Father, as fellow believers. Thank you for that privilege and honor. Thank you for everything that you have done and everything that Jesus has done to make our worship like this possible. Father, there are many, as Gary mentioned, who are sick. There are many who are suffering. And we love them, and we want what's best for them, and we lift them up before you. Especially at this time, we lift up the Victory family and Dwayne with his health crisis that he's having at the moment. Father, we pray for healing and we pray for health for him. Pray that you'll give Paul strength as he tries to take care of so many who are ailing in his family. And bless him with an extra measure of strength that he might continue to serve them and serve you. Father, we pray for healing and that Dwayne will be home soon and back here with us as soon as possible. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I've been reading these last few days about people who are trying to summarize their feelings of the year 2020. I like especially what one woman wrote. She said, "My husband took me into the kitchen, and there he had taken a map of the world, and he had put it on the kitchen wall. And he handed me a dart, and he said, 'I want you to throw this dart, and wherever it lands, that's where I'm going to take you after this pandemic is over. We're going on vacation.'" She said, "I took the dart and I threw it. And my husband and I will be spending 2 weeks behind the refrigerator." Doesn't that just summarize our feelings about 2020? Well, though it didn't work out well, I like the spirit of that husband, because 2020 is going to come to an end. And believe it or not, this pandemic is going to come to an end. And when it does, we as Christians and we as a congregation are going to have unprecedented opportunities to serve God and serve this community. And I want us to be ready when those incredible opportunities come our way. In 2021, I want us to make the most of our opportunities, both as individuals and as a congregation. And I wanted to hold up before us, as our example, the ancient congregation that met in Philadelphia. This is one of the seven letters that Jesus addressed to the seven churches. The words that I read to you, the words of Jesus, the words that he dictated to John and John wrote. But Philadelphia was the church with the open door. And Jesus said, you got opportunities coming and you can be doing things right now so that you can be ready to make the most of those opportunities. Now, I want to notice what Jesus said briefly and simply, so that we can be getting ready for the opportunities that are going to come our way in this new year. Let me say a word, first of all, about the revealer of opportunities. Who is it that provides these opportunities? Who is it that reveals these opportunities to Christians? We find in verses 7 and 8 who the revealer is. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, Jesus says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds," verse 8, "see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." Jesus says he has the key of David. In the book of Revelation, key carries the idea of control, or ownership, or authority. Jesus says, "I rule over Christians as David ruled over Israel. I hold a key, and as part of my rule, what I can do is I can open doors. I'm the only one that can open them, doors of opportunity, and no one can close them." Jesus is the revealer of opportunities. Now, what kind of opportunities, what kind of doors is Jesus going to open for these Christians in Philadelphia and for us? Opportunities for ministry, opportunities for service, opportunities for personal spiritual growth, opportunities for congregational growth. When this pandemic ends, people are going to be getting out and about in unprecedented numbers. People are tired of being isolated, and some are going to be looking for churches. And what an opportunity that's going to be for us to say, if you're looking for a congregation of the church, here we are. Those opportunities will come to us, I believe, in the year 2021. So the revealer of opportunities is Jesus. I read recently as a youth minister talked about having a retreat for the youth in his church and in his area. And the focus of the retreat was opportunity. And he wanted to stress to these kids, there are no problems, there are opportunities. And so they gathered at a camp, and the first thing the youth minister did was he presented a message about there are no problems, there are just opportunities, and he hammered that point home. There are no problems, there are just opportunities. And after that initial gathering, he then sent the kids to the cabins to find their cabin, find their room, and find their roommate. Just a few minutes later, a boy found the youth minister, came up to him and said, "I don't know if you want me to look at this as a problem or an opportunity, but you've got me rooming with the girl." Jesus says, "I want you to see opportunities." Are there problems in the world? Absolutely. But there are open doors that I am going to swing open for you, and I want you to be ready to walk through. Let's notice number two, the reason for opportunities. The reason. Now, there are seven letters written to seven churches in the early part of the book of Revelation. And Jesus didn't talk to all of the congregations about open doors. Jesus didn't talk to all seven of the congregations about opportunities that he was going to make for them. He singled out Philadelphia as the church of the open door. Why is that? Why was Philadelphia going to have these doors of opportunity open when other churches like Laodicea or Sardis, they apparently weren't going to have the same kind of opportunities created by Jesus? Why? It is because of what the church in Philadelphia had been doing to prepare themselves to be ready for opportunities. When we show God that we are ready for an opportunity, he'll send one our way. When we show God that we are willing to walk through a door that he opens, he'll be much more prone to open it. Look at verse 8 and then verse 10 if you're in the text with us. Verse 8, first of all, Jesus says to the church at Philadelphia, "I know your deeds. I know your deeds. I know what you've been up to. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and not denied my name." Verse 10, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." Philadelphia had been, the church of Philadelphia had been taking care of their business. They had shown that they were faithful in the few things they had, and Jesus says that I'm going to give you more. Notice that they were productive. Jesus says, "You have little strength." We're not sure if that means they were small in number, or maybe they were small in the influence that they had on the community around, or maybe they struggled financially, or maybe all of those. But Jesus says, "You're not really strong. You've got just a little strength." But it wasn't a criticism. It was a compliment. Because these Christians did not use their lack of strength as an excuse to do nothing. And that's what many congregations do, and that's what many Christians do. "I can't do much, so I'm not going to do anything." And that's not what Philadelphia had chosen to do. They had done what they could with what they had. They had shown, "Jesus, if you give us an opportunity to walk through a door, we are willing to walk through it." The biblical principle to "the one who has more will be given" applies right here in the church in Philadelphia. The reason many people miss potential opportunities is because when opportunity knocks, we're in the backyard looking for a four-leaf clover. We're thinking about luck. I want to tell you what luck is. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And that's what these Christians knew and put into practice in their lives. Sometimes when opportunity knocks, we don't answer the door because opportunity is dressed in overalls and looks a whole lot like work. And we say, "No." I'm telling you, when opportunities to grow as a congregation comes after this pandemic, when those opportunities come, there's going to be work involved. Are we going to go out and bring these people in? And when they get in here, what are we going to do with them? How are we going to keep them? How are we going to keep up with them? How are we going to put them to work? Which friendship circles can they break into in the congregation so they can be close to somebody and have a friend here? Yes, there will be work, but the work, of course, will be worth it. So the Christians in Philadelphia were productive. They were also persistent. The one thing that the Christians in Philadelphia could do is that they could remain faithful in spite of the obstacles in their lives. And that is what they had done. They had been through a period of time where they had been tested and they held on. They'd been positive and persistent through this period of testing. You know, optimists and pessimists both live by a rule, this too shall pass. It's just that optimists say this too shall pass when they're facing rough times, and pessimists say this too will pass when they're facing good times. But the church was facing some difficult times, and they said, you know what, this is going to pass, and all I got to do, all we got to do is hold on to faith. When you're traveling and you come to a deep valley, a chasm, and there's a bridge stretching across it, you don't ask, are my legs strong enough to jump across this valley? You ask, is the bridge strong enough to support me as I cross this deep valley? And as Christians, when we face valleys, the question is not, am I strong enough? The question is God strong enough? And folks, the answer to that question is always yes. He is strong enough every time and any time and for all time to support me as I cross the valleys in my life. These Christians knew that. They demonstrated that in their faithful service, and that's why God says, you know what? You've done well with the doors I've opened in the past. I'm opening more. So that's the reason for their opportunities. They had earned them. I didn't include this on the outline, but I thought of it after I'd submitted the outline. Let me say that there is going to be resistance to opportunities. There will always be some resistance. In verse 8, Jesus said, I'm going to open a door that no one can shut. And the implication is somebody's going to try to shut it, right? In Nehemiah's day, Nehemiah rose the people up and he said, we're going to arise and build. And there were enemies that said, we're going to arise and blast. When God's people get a mind to work, the devil's people are going to get a mind to wreck. We know that. There's going to be the wet blanket committee. There's going to be those saying, no, we can't. Can't go through that door, and here's why. We just know that that's a part of the deal, and it's coming, and we don't let it stop us. Then finally, let me talk to you about the result of opportunities. The result of opportunities. I'll make those, this is verse 9, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I'll make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I've loved you. Since you've kept my command to endure patiently, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, that is the one who just holds on to faith through all of it, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I'll write on them the name of my God, the name of the city of God, the New Jerusalem. I'll write on them my new name, Jesus says. All of those promises to those who are ready to make the most of the opportunities that Jesus sends their way. The church at Philadelphia had been productive and persistent, and that means that they had a bright future in front of them. Jesus says you're going to be victorious over Jewish opposition. It's not going to crush you. Jesus says, I'm going to give you spiritual protection as Rome turns up the heat of persecution on the church. I'm giving you spiritual protection. You're going to get through it. They're going to have a permanent position in heaven. They're going to wear the name of Jesus, indicating an eternal relationship with Jesus. All of those promises to those who make the most of their opportunities. I want us to make the best and the most of the opportunities we have in 2021. And those opportunities, especially for church growth, are going to be unprecedented. A car has on its mirror oftentimes object and mirror are closer than they appear. And I want you to know, as I age, I realize that that's true in a car and that's true in life. And I can tell you that the future is closer than it appears. Yogi Berra used to say, tongue in cheek, the past ain't what it used to be. Well, I can tell you, I'm 52 now and the future ain't what it used to be. It gets here in a hurry. We have a brief time to build relationships. Let's build them now. We have a brief time to share our faith and build the church. Let's share and build now. We have a brief time to right wrongs in our lives and in the world as much as we can. Let's do it now. Because the end of every window of opportunity is much closer than we could ever dream it is. Someone has said, we'll have all of eternity to celebrate the victories we win, but only a few hours before sunset to win them. Let's take advantage of 2021, every opportunity we have, and let's build that brighter future. Would you bow with me and let's pray?